Hey, listen to this story. A Wisconsin man claiming to be a psychic has been credited with assisting police in the arrest of a man and a woman accused of stealing $2,200 worth of jeans. That's right. The unidentified man called Madison, Wisconsin police, told them that he was a psychic and that he thought there was an elaborate conspiracy involving a white car that he saw in a motel parking lot. He saw people coming and going and believed they had a strange aura about them. While police went to the parking lot to investigate and they arrested a couple of people, the pair accused of using a white car in a series of thefts, which included stealing $2,200 worth of jeans from a mall and buying cigarettes using a credit card from a stolen purse. Those psychics, they know what they're doing. In a moment, we're going to talk with psychic Elizabeth Joyce back on Coast to Coast about predictions for next year and much more on Coast to Coast AM. A couple of years ago, we had Elizabeth Joyce on the program, and she is back. A couple of her works, The New Spiritual Chakras and Psychic Attack. Are you a victim? Born one of two sets of identical twins, Elizabeth has had her psychic gift since birth. She has become internationally respected for this gift as a psychic and a healer. She personally believes that credit should go to the divine as well as her guides and teachers. Now, beginning with the Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton prediction back in 1997, Elizabeth is one of those very few psychics worldwide that picked up on the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami, the Japanese and Haitian earthquakes, and the horrible tragedy in New York in 2001. Welcoming back to Coast, Elizabeth Joyce. And we have lots to talk with you about tonight, Elizabeth. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, George. How are you?
I have been fine. And how have you been spending the last few years?
Well, I've been writing books. I've written 8 since I talked with you. I know that Psychic Attack was my first book, and then we talked about my book on Ascension. But this new book is fabulous. I mean, it's a new step up for mankind.
Chakras. What are chakras, by the way?
The chakras are the energy centers, the invisible energy centers that keep us in balance with the gravity and the spinning of the earth and the grids, and it keeps us connected to the universe beyond the world.
Now, the earth has ley lines. Would they be considered chakras for the earth?
No, they are considered ley lines. They're considered energy holders.
All right.
So they would feed at the chakras. They're like your electrical circuit.
Okay. Okay. Now, in this case with chakras, are there some people who don't have them?
No.
Everybody does.
Every tree, every cat, every dog, every cow, every human has chakras.
Some are more powerful than the others.
Some are more imbalanced than the others. Chakras don't give you power. Chakras bring you in balance so that you can bring in the energy that gives you power. Picture a Volkswagen and a Cadillac. The Volkswagen is somebody that would have weaker chakras than the Cadillac.
Yeah, but I'd go with the gas mileage.
You fill it with your meditation. As you do meditation, it's like putting gas in the car. When you do your morning meditation and nightly review, you're feeding yourself energy from the universe to keep you centered, clear, and have you lead your life the way you should.
Looking at the human body, there are what, 7 chakra centers?
There's 12 now.
12 now. What do you mean now? What happened? Where'd the other 5 come from?
Well, the other 5, I believe, have always been there, but I think that now we're being granted to have access to them. And they evolved. They came into being, into my knowledge, and we had started accessing them in December of 2012. That's what that was all about, that we were going to be given new ways to improve our body, mind, and spirit. And the new way are the new chakras. So you meditate using the other 7, and then you plug into the ones that are higher and above your head and behind your head to improve and to receive more spiritual gifts and to work on the sixth sense. Now, George, you know we have a sixth sense.
Yeah.
But nobody's been able to access it and use it. They've talked about it. A few people have had some breakthroughs. This is the breakthrough. This opens you up to the higher energies and to your sixth sense so that you can use it and help yourself and others as well.
Give us some examples, if you can, Elizabeth, on how you would use and tap into your chakras and use them to your own benefit?
Well, in order to tap into your chakras, you have to decide that you're going to work with them every day. And you just visualize. You can visualize a star and have the star come down your spine and your root chakra. And you visualize them and you place them at the places that they should be, which, of course, is very well diagrammed in the book. So it would be the root chakra, the second chakra, the solar plexus chakra, the heart center, the throat chakra, the third eye, and the crown chakra. Those are the seven, and they each have a color, and they each represent something. The root chakra is your battery. It holds your energy. It holds the kundalini. The second chakra is your receiving chakra, as well as your creativity chakra and your sexual chakra. The solar plexus is your will, your determination, how you make decisions, and your gut feeling reaction. The heart center brings you kindness, love, peace, and harmony. The throat center is your communication center. It also can bring you affluence and abundance because you're using your voice to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
But it also gives you something called discernment, saying that's not true. I'm not going to accept that. That's part of the throat chakra as well. Then you have the third eye. The third eye is magical, George, because the third eye takes you out of the body.
Ah.
The third eye brings you knowledge, wisdom, and freedom.
Into the astral plane?
Into the astral plane and beyond. The third eye is your telescope into the universe. And then the crown chakra is your connection to infinity. So the crown chakra opens and brings in what I call the Chakti energy, but some people call it Chi. Some people have all different names for this energy, but I call it Chakti. And you bring it into the crown and down your spine to ignite yourself and put yourself into balance daily. And you will find your body growing stronger. You will find that you will stay well. You will find that you are building up not only your immune system on the physical level, but you're building up your auric shield on the astral level so that you won't be attacked by negative energy.
Are there...
Now we have the eighth, which is above it, which is feeding even more stronger energy.
Are any of these chakras more important than the other?
If they're out of balance, some of them can be more important than the other. They're all important because they all carry different things to make up the whole. So if you have one out of balance, it's going to throw everything out of balance.
Okay. All right. So they almost work like gears of a machine.
That's great. They do. And the two ones that are important on the physical body is the solar plexus, because that's where you decide and make your decisions, and your third eye.
That's where we think is the gut, right?
The gut is the solar plexus.
Yeah, exactly.
Third eye is what takes you out and brings you awareness. All of them are important, but those two, if they're thrown off, you can really not have a good day. And now we have the eighth chakra, which is what is opening for people now. You can't open these fast. This is going to be an evolvement over the next 50 to 60 years, if not longer. But the eighth chakra brings you, oh, there's not only me in the world, there's other people.
Hello, they're out there, right?
And that's important. Now we're coming into the oneness. What can I do to help others? That's the eighth chakra. The eighth chakra brings you into service, and it brings you more psychic skills. It brings you compassion. It brings you spirituality. It also brings you telepathy. And then you'll begin to start to sense other people, and you'll begin to be in harmony, and you might even begin to see auras as the eighth opens.
Is that what you use to heal people, by tapping into all of these?
I got hit over the head with a baseball bat by an angel, I'm telling you. I heal differently now than when I used to. I used to use the center of my palms to do healing. Now I use my third eye.
Did you have to touch somebody, or could you do it from afar?
I can heal somebody in Australia.
Really?
From New York. Doesn't matter where you are in the world. That's the grid system that you spoke about when we opened the show.
Yeah.
the energy goes along those ley lines to the other person who is open to receiving it. And then now you've created like a hose. You're hosing the lawn. I'm hosing a girl in Australia with light and energy. And it works. It's very powerful, especially if you're very focused. And if you use something called the double helix, that's the new energy that's coming in from the center of our galaxy.
Explain
that.
We
have not had that energy on this planet ever before. It came in on 2012, and I know it came in because I felt it. And we use that now. So that's going to amp up our energy. We were using light energy, but now we've got a greater light. You've heard of scalar waves?
Yes.
Similar to scalar waves. And so this wave of light that you can bring into your body after you've trained it, after these chakras have begun to open, you're going to be healing on a different plane, and faster and more lasting healing will come. Plus, your awareness grows.
When you got involved in this, Elizabeth, I mean, how old were you?
Oh, I got involved in the eighth chakra?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you how that happened. I work for a lady. Her name is Amarita Nandamayi. She's known as the Hugging Saint. I've been with her 28 years. I was one of the original 60 people that was chosen to bring her across the United States. George, you know she comes every year.
Okay.
I run the New York City Satsang, so they gave me permission to sit in front of her for 20 minutes. In 2010, I said, I'm no dummy. I'm going to sit in front of her and tell her what I want for my future. So I asked her to put a book inside of me that would help mankind, that I wanted to have the golden pen of God and the angels, and I wanted to write. The first book I wrote was Ascension. You remember that. I broke down all of the different levels. Ascension.
Mm-hmm.
Accessing the fifth dimension. I wrote about each dimension, what it is, how to recognize where you are in it, and how to go beyond where you are. That was Ascension. Then I asked her again in 2012 to write another one, and I got the new spiritual chakras and how to work with them. And I was shown the whole imprint of our universal body and our physical body. We have a universal body, and that's the body that astral travels. That's the body that has the out-of-body experience or the near-death experience. That's the part that leaves us and goes to help others.
And that's the part that also taps into this higher consciousness, isn't it?
Yes. It brings in the higher consciousness, and that the way you bring it in is the new spiritual chakras. So this is quite a bit of information. I have tons of information. On the back of the book is a chart that I designed that tells you each chakra, tells you what sign it's ruled by, because they're all ruled by astrological signs, what the colors are, and what it brings in. It's also inside the book in black and white, but I wanted to have the chart on the back of the book so they could see the colors of each chakra and notice that solar plexus and heart center have changed. Because the solar plexus is now green and the heart center is a golden yellow.
Are these colors the same as auras?
No.
They're not.
The colors of the chakras are their own individual colors. They each represent the red. It's red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet, the color of the rainbow. But now that we've gone beyond to the eighth chakra, there's more colors added. The ninth chakra, for example, is magenta. The 8.5 chakra is amber.
What's the significance of the colors?
The colors show, okay, that's a good question. The colors show you the degree of energy. You know, we have ultraviolet and we have the red. What is it? Ultraviolet and what's on the red side?
There's got to be green and yellow.
No, but I'm talking about there's colors that we know exist that we cannot see. And one is ultraviolet, and the other is infrared. Okay.
Infrared.
So beyond those are other colors. They carry an energy. I wanted to make the point of each color is energetic. And some of them have a stronger energy than others. That's why the colors are important, because they feed us and they bring us balance in different ways. So if you close your eyes and you see a purple on your third eye, which most people do, that's a very good thing. When that purple begins to turn to a dark blue and it looks like the sky with stars, sparkling stars, then you know a chakra is opening. And that's how you know, through the third eye.
And how do you use it? How do you use it to, better yourself?
If you're not in balance, then you can have a lot of things happen to you. Besides ill health, you can have negative thoughts, you can be attacked by others, or you can get evil and attack yourself. You can try to cast a spell on somebody, you can manipulate and control.
Jeez.
If you're out of balance. You can also go into depressions and not feel the strong self-esteem.
Can you be possessed in that state?
Yes. But when you are balanced, nothing can penetrate you. And nothing can stop you from achieving your desire.
I would agree with that. I bet you could be in a den of demons, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't get to you if you're in that right state of mind.
You know, the monks that used to live in Tibet up on those rocky
until they chased them all out.
Yeah. Right, and they would eat a half a cup of rice a day. They're the ones that knew about these new chakras. They knew about them, and it's called holding the energy. We have many, many people on this planet, in the Himalayas, in other areas that we don't even know about, that hold energy. All they do is hold energy for the planet. And that's what they do. That's what their life purpose is. So now it's come down to the fellow man that's walking down the streets of New York going to work. Now they can be in balance. It's magical.
Is it obvious for people to tell who's balanced and who isn't by that person's attitude? So if you see somebody who's negative or down, can you say, hey, something's wrong with their chakras?
Well, yes, something would be wrong with their chakras, and it's because of their thinking patterns as well. For example, if I go into the post office and I give the man the package and he slams it down and he's, you know, throwing it around.
Just not having a good day.
Yeah, I would say, I'm sorry you're not having a good day. I hope everything's okay.
You would say that to him?
I would, but that's me.
Then he goes postal on you.
No. He looks at me and he says, oh, I am having a bad day. I didn't take it personally. You know, usually
some people do take it personally, Elizabeth.
No, he asked me not to take it personally, his attitude.
I would say
I understand. That's the gift of being in balance. The gift of being in balance is being able to recognize other people's pain and being able to support them where they are, to help them through the pain, to tell them that you love them, that you care, that you see that they're in pain and wish you could help in some way.
Well, maybe so. We're talking with Elizabeth Joyce, of course. Her latest work is called The New Spiritual Chakras, and her website, new-visions.com, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back in just a moment, we are going to talk about her psychic predictions for 2016. And wait till you hear some of the things she's going to talk about, which will include presidential elections, ISIS, the stock market, some weather, you name it, she's got it. And I want you to write them down because we're going to see how many come true. Okay, we're back. Elizabeth Joyce, our guest, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Elizabeth, you've had some great psychic hits in predictions. When you do, tell us what happens. I mean, what state of mind do you get into? Do you have to go into a trance like Edgar Cayce did? How do you work this?
Sometimes I do go into a trance, but sometimes it's just that it comes. During the day, in the middle of the day, it can just come.
Just pops right in your head.
Yep.
And is it
like... Lots of times early in the morning when I'm meditating.
Really?
Yes.
Do you write these things down?
I do. All the time.
How about the dream state?
My scribbled notes.
Does it happen in the dream state, too?
Oh my goodness, so much happens in the dream state. I call them deeply penetrating spiritual experiences, where you'll wake up and you'll just know.
Okay,
that
so
happened when I did the Twin Towers.
Yeah. Okay.
How
Now, what did you
now?
see exactly when you saw the towers? What did you see?
Well, I have to go back to the beginning. In August, it was around August 15th of that year, 2001. My girlfriend was buying tickets to go back to India, and she said, "Should I go on September 11th or September 18th?" I said, "You can't go on September 11th." She said, "Why?" I said, "Planes won't be flying." She said, "Why?" I said, "I have no idea, but planes won't be flying." And she was surprised. So she said, "But I said, it could be because it's going to be a pilot strike or something." And she said, "Well," she said, "I'm going to Kuwait." So she made her day for September 11th. Meanwhile, I went up to New Hampshire to my niece's wedding. I flew, and I was meditating and asked if I could come back on the 11th, even though I had group that night. I asked these things of myself during my lifetime, and I got told, "No, you have to come back on the 10th. And I didn't know why. But you know what, George?
Whatever.
When I went back on the 10th from Manchester Airport, our plane was forced to land in Bader Field at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I knew something was wrong. We sat for 3 hours. When we got to Newark Airport at 5 o'clock that night, this was on the 10th. The airport was totally closed, and the Secret Service were everywhere. And I had to go home by bus. My luggage was forwarded to the Philly airport, and they delivered it the next day.
A day before.
They delivered it on 9/11. And I got home, and my husband works for CBS News, and I told him that something was going to happen. And I didn't know what, but something was happening. And he said I was being foolish. But
was your
of
husband
course the next day?
Your husband, Ed Joyce?
No, Don Swain.
Oh, okay.
He had his own show about authors and books. Anyway, then I had a dream that night about two subways that were coming alongside each other with bright, bright lights. And I knew I was at Franklin Street in New York City in this dream. And they both just disappeared. And I knew that was my signal of the Twin Towers falling. But the other thing that happened was that on New Year's Day 2001, I was at a New Year's party, and all the girls gathered around and wanted me to give predictions for 2001. First thing out of my mouth was, "The Twin Towers are going to fall like feathers."
Oh my God.
And they looked at me.
People want predictions. They want fun stuff and good news. They hear that, they panic.
There were 30 people in the room. And I said, "They're going to fall like feathers, and they're going to fall in the late, they're going to fall in September right after school starts." That's pretty good. And I did that New Year's Day.
Okay, so let's talk about 2016. And again, you've got a lot of thoughts about 2016. Let's talk about some of that.
I have a few pages, but there's more to come. Well, I think that 2016 is going to change the way we're living. I think that we're not going to be living the same way next year. Remember that I said that. I'm worried about martial law being called, and I'm worried about upset in this country. And I told your producer today that I was going to be adding more to my predictions today because something started coming in right after she called me. I was seeing some cylinders. They're like those barrels, storage barrels
that
they have on ships.
Yeah, big ones.
Big ones. And that they were filled with some gaseous material. And these people were trying to take the tops off so they could release the gas and it would kill people. And I saw this month, December of 2015, and that there was going to be a scare. It was going to be in Atlanta, Las Vegas, and Chicago.
Wow. Well, you know what? That's something to watch.
That's something to watch.
It's a scary thing.
Those, I knew right away that Atlanta and Las Vegas are our disease control centers. But the thing that bothered me was that whoever's doing this is going to cast the blame onto somebody else. Like they want to blame our people that are coming in from other countries.
When maybe it's when it's really them.
Pardon?
When it's really them doing it.
Right, correct. They're trying to cast the blame onto somebody else when it's really a different organization. And they're going to scare us so that if they're ever going to cause martial law in this country, they want the people to do it. They want the people to demand it, George. They're not just going to come in and roll tanks down the middle of the road and say, you're under martial law. They want the people to say, we need it. We're scared. Look at what's happening. Look at all these shootings. Where are they really coming from?
I know.
It's very scary.
A lot of crazy people. So let me throw some other things your way here.
Sure.
And then we'll get into some of your thoughts. 2016 is going to be a presidential election, and it is one of the strangest elections I can remember. I mean, and I'm still not sure the front runners will end up being the front runners.
Oh, no, of course not. We have so much going on with Uranus and Aries doing its number. Well, I had a dream a year ago that a movie star was going to run for president, and I thought it was George Clooney.
Really?
So I was saying George Clooney's going into politics. It's not. It's Donald Trump.
I wouldn't call him a movie star, but
well,
I know
you
what
know,
you mean. But he was a TV star.
He's certainly not a statesman.
No, he's definitely not a statesman. He was on my buddy Alex Jones' show today.
Spirit would classify him as a movie star rather than an actor rather than.
Yeah,
a
but you
statesman.
Don't think, based on the homework I've done about your predictions, you don't think he's going to make it?
I'm not sure at this point. I'm not sure. He's pretty strong. I see Marco Rubio finally coming out.
I still think somehow, these are predictions now, not desires.
Yeah, of course.
Trust me. But I still think out of the blue, Jeb Bush is going to pop up.
I do too. And I had originally said it would be Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio, but I don't think so now. There's going to be a dark horse, and it could be a woman.
Well, you're not talking about Hillary now, are you?
No, Carly.
Carly? Yep.
I remember saying when McCain was running that I predicted a dark horse woman would come, and it was Sarah Palin.
Okay,
but
I see
I'm
what you mean.
I'm feeling that there's going to be a surprise, and I think Hillary's going to win.
The presidency?
Yes, I do.
Are you making that prediction right now?
I'm making the prediction that if she is still alive, that she could win.
What do you mean still alive?
I think that there's going to be some hanky-panky going on with some of these people that are running for president.
Well, I hate talking about stuff like that, but...
I do, too.
Let's hope.
I just see that there's going to be attempts on people's lives, not just her. I don't want to just single her out. I think there's going to be scandals. I think there's going to be setups and lies. And I also think that Donald Trump's life could be in danger.
So these are things you see as a psychic.
As a psychic. Well, I do the best I can.
All right. Well, does somebody...
Right now, that's what I'm feeling, that it could be Jeb and Marco Rubio, and it's going to be Hillary.
Well, look, just with what happened today, people are crazy, Elizabeth.
I know.
They're sick. And anything could happen, and I hope our candidates are very well protected and watched.
I do, too, and it's very important that they are well protected.
All of them.
Europe's going to have more problems than we're having.
Prediction?
Well, that there's going to be destruction and chaos in Berlin, Paris, London, Rome, Brussels, and possibly Hong Kong. And then they're going to try to get into Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. They're going to be everywhere. ISIS has so much money, George. They have more money.
I know, that's crazy. It's crazy.
Russia, the United States, and England combined. And they're taking over. It's a terrible thing, but they are. How do you really stop it?
Well, I don't think you could keep bombing because they just move around.
No, you can't. There has to be other ways. But they've infiltrated everywhere. And you'd have to find their main centers.
What are you predicting about ISIS next year?
That they're going to get stronger and that they're going to set foot on this soil and come into our country.
And
over here.
Much like what you talked about before with these cylinders and barrels and things like that?
I do feel that. You know, let me just tell you this. If I'm feeling it,
can't
it's already being planned and thought of.
That's what you're feeling, right?
That's what I'm feeling. Whether the plan is carried out or not is another story. Because I remember predicting that there was going to be attempt in Los Angeles as well as Washington, D.C. and New York at 2012 at Twin Towers. And they apprehended the people in Canada and stopped them from coming into Los Angeles. So I'm feeling it, and I'm hoping that if anybody is listening that knows anything, to report it and try to prevent it.
So when you feel events that are caused by people, you are tapping into that person or that group.
That's correct.
And you're picking up their mindset.
That's right. Okay. And that can change, as you know. That doesn't make me a bad person, nor does it make me incorrect. I remember thinking that Obama's life was going to be, they were going to try to hurt Obama, I think it was in Tennessee, and you know there was 11 tries on his life at that particular meeting? 11.
I did not know
stopped.
11.
So,
sick people.
You do the best you can, and I'm not excusing anything. I'm simply saying that there is a serious upset going on, and that I think if you can tap into the energies and if you can say something that will help discover it and stop harm, that it's your responsibility to do that.
What about the weather next year?
And that
takes us into winter in January, February, March.
Well, I think we're going to have upsetting colds. I see a lot of cold weather in New England and Canada. I also see over in Australia they're having their summer. I see a drought problem over in Australia. And I think that we're going to have lots of people without heat and
power outages
and heat and lots of ice. Skiing is going to stop. People aren't going to be able to go skiing because the ice is going to be so funny.
Really?
Yeah, very strange. I see that in Colorado and in New England.
That is weird. What about the droughts in California? Are those going to go away at all?
California has very dramatic changes. They have droughts and no water, and then all of a sudden they have a lot of water, and then they have droughts again. But I don't see it getting any much better. I do see some storms out there, and there have been some heavy ones. We had one called Patricia that they said was the worst storm ever recorded in history, and we're going to have more.
You see an unexpected death in the royal family in England.
I do.
What do you see?
I think Prince Charles is going to pass away. And I think it's because he...
He's young still.
He's cancer. You know,
what is he? He's in his 60s, isn't he?
Yes. And I think he's going to pass away. And I think that we're going to have... Our guy is king.
You think Prince Charles is going to die of cancer?
I do. I think it's prostate cancer.
Wow. All right. Well, you're going to get a tap on your door if these things happen. You know that.
Yeah. Well.
Do you work with law enforcement?
The most wonderful thing that we have is that the royals or the president or anybody can get the top healing people in the world to prevent it, and that's good too. But there is something going on there that I see that people, that other psychics are I was perusing, and I see that other psychics are predicting a death in the royal family, and they think it's Elizabeth's husband. It's not. It's Prince Charles. So other people are picking up on it, George. They're just not getting the specifics.
I would have thought maybe the Queen.
I think if Prince Charles does get sick, that she might abdicate the throne to William. They'll keep it quiet as long as they can.
Huh.
And I think that Kate's going to have a girl. I think George Clooney's wife is going to have a boy. So it'll be fun to watch that, too.
What about earth changes, like volcanoes or earthquakes or anything like that?
Tons of them. There's going to be tons of them. And I got this afternoon that there's going to be something, earthquakes happening in Rome. I had said that there was going to be trouble in Central Africa. A lot's going to be going on in Central Africa. And as soon as I said it, we had trouble with ISIS in Central Africa. But earth changes are going to be serious. Not only are we going to have the land and cold, but we're going to have lots of hot water and land destruction, excessive flooding in southern England, and trouble over in the UK and Europe is going to be really tough. And then there's volcano in Rome, around that area.
Is that Pompeii?
Could be.
Or, well, they've got Mount Etna. Vesuvius where out
that,
there.
Where's Etna?
Etna?
Yeah.
Mount there, Etna.
A volcano.
I don't think it's in Rome.
Well, when I hear Rome, that's Italy. Also, Japan. I didn't know that Edgar Cayce had said that Japan would be half underwater. But I see something really fierce coming in, I'm going to say, the next 18 months.
Etna's in Sicily.
That Japan is going to lose their southern islands.
To who, China?
No, Japan.
And Japan's going to lose it to China or what? Or
no,
you're saying that they're going to sink?
Lose it because the ocean's going to come over.
It's not going to be taken over.
Yeah, it's going to. No. China and Russia are going to band together. You know, Putin, the truth is going to come out about Putin because he wants to.
What's the truth about
take over Europe? He wants to take over Europe, and he thinks he can.
He's doing it in a very subtle way right now, isn't he? What do you see about Syria or Iran?
I see more war. I see our troops there, and I see drones, lots of drones. They're going to be using lots of drones. Over there, yes, in Syria. And the British will be on the ground, and so will the United States be on the ground. Our troops are going over.
Do you pick lottery numbers at all?
I have been. Oh, you want to hear my story about lottery numbers?
Yeah.
I woke up one morning, and I wrote down all six. And I ran to my New Jersey place to buy the numbers before I went to work. And when I was driving home, I heard on the radio that New York State was worth $26 million, and I only live 3 miles from New York State. So I said, oh, my God, it's not going to be New Jersey. It's going to be New York, and it was late.
You picked the right numbers, wrong spot.
I got to the store 5 minutes after they closed the lottery, and every number came in.
Oh, my God. We're going to come back more with Elizabeth Joyce. Elizabeth, real quickly, do you take personal readings at all?
Oh, yes, I do.
All right, let's have some fun. We'll be back.